Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. It's a little noisy here, so I hope you're hearing me okay. Today is April the 2nd, Wednesday, April the 2nd. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. We're honored and blessed and delighted that you're with us to share this time as we investigate and come to understand on deeper and deeper levels the ancient first century process of internal forgiveness. The project we're engaged in is that of understanding how it is that the way
Michael, you're cutting out. I'm not sure if you're trying to avoid the noise that's in the background, but we're hearing a couple of words and then you go silent.
I don't know what to say. I'm sitting in the car. It's quiet. I have no noise. And I've got a strong phone signal. I don't have any idea what's wrong, what's going on. So were you able to hear me there?
Yeah, I was able to hear that. So maybe it's all the concrete in the parking lot. I don't know. But keep going.
Well, I actually moved, so I'm moving the car again. Excuse us, folks. We're on the road. Technology and life on the road. Let me get out of here and see if I get into a little more open place if I have a better signal. And maybe you can tell me, Jeannie, if that's any better. Can you hear me now?
Right now you're fine, yes.
Okay, good. Well, then I'll just sit out here in the open rather than in the parking lot. So once again, we want to look at today the way that the mind works and take a look at the ancient Aramaic language. It's an interesting language, and it's the root language of at least 6 of the world's major religions. There's a reason why it's sourced at least 6 of the world's major religions, and that is that it is a language that perfectly reflects and understands the world of physics, the world of physiology, the world of psychology, and the world of genetics. So having that much accurate knowledge and a language in which that could be accurately expressed means that many men took their misunderstanding and turned it into a religion rather than maintaining it as a set of instructions and understanding for how the world works. You've often heard someone, perhaps, if you've ever interacted with people who speak a different language than you, you're having a conversation, and they want to say something to you that they can easily say in their language, you know, it's French, it's German, it's Russian, whatever it happens to be. And imagine that or you've had the experience, and I've had many times probably, where this person who, say, speaks French turns to their French friend and says, how do you say, and they say it in French, in English. And their friend throws up their hands and says, you can't say that in English. Well, what do you mean you can't say that in English? It's just translating words, isn't it? No, actually, it goes much deeper than that. It's got nothing to do with translating words. It's got to do with translating meaning. So let's just imagine for a second. And some of you probably heard me tell this story before, but it's a good reminder if you have, and if not, then it'll be something new to understand. Imagine that, here we are, we're in Las Vegas, and we just started on Sunday to do a series of six, seven workshops, and then we'll start next Sunday again at a different Unity Center in Henderson, Nevada, which is just one of the suburbs of Las Vegas. And we're going to do another six workshops. And let's imagine that you individually are the best translator of Russian into English and English into Russian in the world. And we get an email from a fellow who wants to come over from Russia to do the workshops. So knowing that you speak Russian and knowing that you have an extra room in your house, I call you and say, hey, would you mind, Charlie, taking care of Dmitry? He's flying over. He wants to do the workshops. He needs a place to stay. And would you pick him up at the airport? Would you mind housing him and doing some translation for him? He doesn't speak any English. And you're just delighted to do that. And through the period of the 2 weeks of workshops here in Las Vegas, we get together several times. He comes each evening. You bring him. You translate for him. And we get together for lunch or dinner a couple of times. He comes to the Mind Shifters and Simply Breathing workshop. Saturday night, the workshops are all over. We've done 2 weeks of workshops, and we've just had an awesome time with this fellow. And I want to communicate my appreciation for him. So I ask him if you will tell him that I think that he's just really cool. Turn to him in your best Russian, and you say, Michael thinks you've got a low body temperature. You translated my words perfectly, but you said nothing about what I meant. And so it is when you move from one language to another. If the man named Yeshua, who understood physics, psychology, genetics, and physiology, said in most places that supposedly are dealing with accurate translations of his works, and everybody will proclaim how accurate it is, and that's just a joke. If he sat in most places where they ostensibly are talking about what he taught, he would say, probably with some frustration after the worksheet around his frustration, he would say, that's all great to me. That's like telling somebody they've got a low body temperature when you say, you think they're really cool. It's got nothing to do with what I said. And as you recognize that, as you begin to understand the Aramaic, you go into a depth of understanding that is almost not expressible or understandable in English. And that's required in order to get back to what was actually being taught. Yeshua was not teaching a theological system. Yeshua was teaching genetics and how your genetics work. Those ancient scriptures were teaching how genetics worked. When they said, the sins of the father will be passed, yea, unto three and four generations, that wasn't some kind of theological threat, and it didn't have anything to do with your identity. The word sin in Aramaic is an earthly term. And when you fire at the bullseye and you miss the bullseye, the scorekeeper yells sin. That's all it means. But we actually have people inviting other people, people who should know better, inviting other people to proclaim themselves sinners. Give up their identity as human beings and proclaim themselves sinners. How insane is that? So the word sin just means off the mark, archery term. Your identity is as the offspring of love. Always maintain that and understand that. Your true identity is the offspring of love. And you can verify that by for yourself by talking to anybody on the planet that's ever held a newborn child and ask them. We were sitting with an attorney in Costa Rica, fairly stoic gentleman, and we're talking about our project in Costa Rica for creating Heartland South, and we're explaining to him what we do. Now, this is a guy who's who's been an attorney for the UN, for the United States ambassador to the UN, so pretty worldly kind of guy. And I ask him if he has children, and he nods his head, yes, stoically. And then I ask him to remember the moment at which he first held his newborn child and describe the essence of the newborn. And he cracked a smile and talked about love. That's your identity. That's my identity. That's the identity of Saddam Hussein. That's the identity of Hitler. That's the identity of the person you call the enemy. That's the identity of the person that you look at in the mirror. That's the true identity. An insane world will ask you to proclaim a different identity for yourself instead of remind you who you are and support you in getting back to who you are. Throw that teaching out because it will destroy you. It will destroy your physiology. It will destroy your mental faculties, your emotional faculties, and it will ultimately kill you. It's time for us to give that insanity up and get back to the truth of the original teaching. And the original teaching said, you are the offspring of the Creator. You are made of the stuff called love. Now, there's not a lot of money in telling people that. There's much more money in getting people to live in guilt and self-condemnation and self-deprecation and thinking of themselves as a piece of trash that needs somebody intercede for them with the Creator. And it's crazy. It's crazy on its face. These people are not honest. They are not telling the truth when they try to get you to proclaim yourself something other than the awesome active presence of love that you are and support you in rediscovering who you are. Actually, you got a letter today. Do you happen to have your computer open? And is it in a space where you might be able to read that letter?
Well, I'll give it a try. So I haven't gotten permission to say her name, so we'll avoid that.
No, without identifying her.
Okay.
But this is a letter that came in the email today. And go ahead, sweetie.
So she writes this. She sent it to several people who were at the same intensive that she was at. She says, if you have received this email, it is because 1 year ago I attended a codependence to interdependence intensive workshop, either with you or you were instrumental in encouraging me to attend. I would like to share with you my experience. 1 year ago, I arrived at Palm Coast broken, sad, angry, and frankly suicidal. I was lost in my story as a victim of an abusive childhood and a recent painful divorce after 22 years of marriage. I had been on countless antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications for many years, along with a lifetime of therapy. There were times that I found brief relief, only to fall back into deep sadness, anger, and hopelessness. Throughout the workshop, the intensive workshop, I remained skeptical. I was resistant, and at times I was confused. Now I know that I was building the brain cells that I needed in order to heal the clutter that had kept me stuck. As I continue this work, the periods that I fall back into old patterns have become less and less, and I am able to return much quicker to a place of balance and neutralness. This is what I know for sure and what has remained consistent throughout my continued healing. When I speak of something outside of myself that is the cause of something inside of myself, I am avoiding the very thing that can lead me to healing another layer when I am in pain that I have to work. When I am in pain, I have work to do. I can simultaneously take responsibility for my life while excuse me, I cannot simultaneously take responsibility for my life while blaming someone else. Anytime I allow a goal to become greater than my reality, Michael, you might want to put mute, I disconnect with my being, my source, and I connect to hurt, sadness, anger, and my non-being self. No one has to change in order for me to feel good. Finding love outside of myself was not the answer. Forgiveness is not about letting yourself or someone else off the hook. Forgiveness is the tool that we use to go into ourselves and remove hostility, rage, grief, fear, pain, sadness, and trauma. As these are removed piece by piece, all that is left is the presence of love. Using this tool and experiencing this love and healing has changed my life. Next paragraph. This is what healing and forgiveness has looked like for me. I have renewed a healthy relationship with both of my daughters. I have also reestablished a continuing relationship with all three of my siblings after a very long period of disconnect. My youngest daughter, who has experienced some challenges, has started using this work. I have shifted from anger and disdain towards my abusive mother to a place of compassion and responsible communication. I established a connection with my ex-husband and my former friend, whom they are now engaged to one another, and this was something that at one time I thought would be absolutely impossible. I have had many people ask, "What are you doing? I want what you have," and multiple comments on how my eyes appear to have changed. I am off 9 medications for various illnesses, ranging from high blood pressure to depression, anxiety, and muscle disorder. I have achieved freedom from debilitating memories and flashbacks of sexual abuse. I have an amazing network of new friends that have become family. I love my life, and I am hopeful and excited for my future. I have wonderful support in this work, and I am grateful for the loving friendships that have come from this. The next paragraph. I have also had some remarkable blessings. I have an awesome new job where the owners do the work themselves. I have a beautiful new living space that is precisely what I had envisioned for myself over a year ago. Multiple amazing incidences where an individual has generously given me countless hours to learn to be an expert in the very things that have been a challenge for me. I was given a brand new car. Yes, a new car. This work is certainly not always easy, but I am proof that forgiveness and using these tools can absolutely transform a life. Love to you all. Michael, you'll have to unmute.
I'm unmuted. I'm just taking a breath because the emotion that comes up as I hear those kinds of changes. And, you know, I think back to when she was in the intensive. Actually, she wanted to come to the intensive, and somebody in the, I believe it was the support group there, talked to her and told her they would support her. She didn't have the money to do the intensive, and she didn't have the money to fly down to the intensive in Florida. She shared with us toward the end of that 9-day intensive. This is a product of 9 days of intensive in her work. She shared with us that the day she arrived, she was so terrified to come to the workshop, she actually contemplated whether or not she could just sleep and live on the beach for the 9 days. She had $40 in her pocket that a friend had given her to come to the intensive. She was contemplating whether her $40 would get her enough food for 9 days that she could just live on the beach, not come to the intensive, and then take her flight back to her home. Fortunately, she came to the intensive. She shared with me further, you know, besides that, when she called me a few days after the intensive, actually it was about 2 weeks after the intensive, and shared that when she got to the airport, she had her, you know, ticket in hand, went into the ticket counter, and for no reason whatsoever. Now, this is someone who didn't have the money to get on an airplane and didn't have the money to come to the intensive. Literally, poverty-stricken. And they said, "Oh, we're going to exchange your ticket." and they handed her a first-class ticket to go back home. No idea why, just out of the blue, she gets a first-class ticket home. And about, I believe it was about 2 weeks later, that a friend of hers that she had, an older gentleman, that she had helped through some traumatic situations, you know, just basically driven in places and taken care of her, called her one morning and said, I want to take you to lunch. Went to lunch, and on the way to lunch, they went by a car dealership. And he handed her a set of keys for a brand new car. It's the result of doing one's work. That's what it takes. When someone tells you that you are less than the active presence of love, and I remember her process very clearly, and several times she came up against such rage and such pain that she almost left the workshop, but instead stayed in the space of the active presence of love where there were two dozen other people holding that space for her when her stuff would come up, as when their stuff came up, there were two dozen others holding the space for them. It is the exposure to the active presence of love. Why does somebody want you to buy the identity and believe yourself a sinner? Because there is no love present, and there is no healing possible in that space. It is when we tap into that active presence of love that we are. And so the world will frame goals for you to function in a way that will tend to keep you in the cycle that you're in. If you set goals that the world frames for you, then what will happen is your mind will take its internal content, whatever it's been brainwashed to believe, and it will build an internal world that has you believe that about yourself. There's a great line in the Course in Miracles that says, you must become aware of the distorting power of the way you want it to be. If you want to function as an identity less than the truth of who you are, then your mind will show you how to do it and give you all the feelings and all the fodder that you need to prove that all of that is true. And if you assess yourself according to the appearances that you've been brainwashed with, then your mind will reinforce and prove that all of that's true. And then, of course, behavior follows purpose. I would offer, and the workshop that we did last night was Purpose, Personal Power, and Commitment. If you happen to be in the Las Vegas area, you'll be at Unity for the next 3 nights. Doing a series of free workshops. Tonight is, let's see, what's tonight's workshop?
Tonight is What is the World? And tomorrow night is Circle of Life.
Mr. Shinya on Friday night. So if you're in Vegas, come and share with us. But if you hold that your purpose is to prove yourself less than a worthy offspring of the Creator, you'll prove it to yourself and you'll be right. And then if you go get with lots of other people who believe the same thing, watch the insanity that ensues. Watch the infighting. Watch the backbiting. Watch the craziness that happens. This is not human life expressing. Because of this work, the purpose of each support group that exists is to create the space where that kind of transformation takes place. And the purpose of our radio show is to support you being able to shift and change your personal reality structure, change the internal contents of your mind, and forgive what never belonged. A thought of sinnership, a thought of self-deprecation, a thought that you are less than worthy of the active presence of love is a lie about you and to you. Anybody who tells you those lies, make sure you really deeply suspect anything else they've got to tell you. Because if they're telling you that lie, they're telling you other lies. Be careful, because they'll also build into your mind threats that if you ever catch them at their game, you're really in trouble. And so most people who've been brainwashed with that get stuck in that brainwash and lose the truth of their identity.
Michael?
Hold a newborn child? Yes, sweetie.
We have Brenda with us on the phone, and then we also have six other callers.
Oh, awesome. Well, let's go for it. Let's say hello to Brenda.
Hey there,
hi, Brenda. How are you?
Hello.
Hey there.
Hello.
Well, you sound like you're doing pretty well.
I am doing very well. I am doing very well. I appreciate that you share that. Yes.
Which are you talking about?
I appreciated that you shared. I am the author of the email you just read.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to hear that from you. I didn't want to say that.
Yes. Oh, I apologize. Yes. First time calling into the show, and I thought I'd use this reason to call in.
Well, I just, you know, when Jeannie read that to me this morning, it was a very strong emotional impact, and as I sat here just listening to her read it again, the tears welled up at just, you know, the blight joy of getting to be part of supporting that happening in your world. It's just congratulations on the willingness, because I certainly, as I've seen with others, saw your resistance and times when, during
absolutely
that intensive, you could have gotten up and run out the door, as other people have done on occasion. Instead of
and
faces, so I
many
you for your third.
Yes, I did think of that many times, yes. Yes, it has transformed my life. The work has absolutely transformed my life, and I'm very grateful. I'm grateful for the continued support I have here in town, and it has changed my life.
Well, my offering would be that actually the work hasn't changed your life at all. You have changed your life. You took
correct
the tools. I see other people, the tools become available, and they sit there, and they sit like a lump, and they stay in their hostility and fear and self-deprecation and unworthiness and all those things, rather than have the courage that you had to step in and go for it and go through it. So it's really, and I invite you to acknowledge yourself, it's the work you did that changed your life.
Yeah. Yes, and I
we appreciate the opportunity
that
to provide the tools and the support, but it's the work you did that did it.
Yes, I do recognize that. Yes.
Cool.
And it
well,
feels
is there anything
amazing
else you'd share?
No, I just wanted the opportunity to thank you both and tell you I love you, and you know, I was glad to share that with everybody. I actually sent the email to everybody that attended the workshop with me, and also the few people that encouraged me to go. And it took a lot of encouragement, and I, again, am so grateful. Thank you both.
Well, we really appreciate you sharing that letter with us and then jumping on the show with us, because I'm sure there will be other people that are either listening now or are going to hear this in the archives and go, ah, that's really possible? And that's what we want to get across to people. It is really possible.
It is. It is. And you know how low I was and what a dark place I was at. It's remarkable the difference in my life in 1 year.
Well, you know, you go back to Yeshua, and he says, the eye is the lamp of the soul. If the light for you is darkness, how deep will your darkness become? And from the Greek translation, that makes not very much sense at all. But if you go back to the original Aramaic, it ties into the very thing you just said. What he's saying there is the guidance system for your earthly life is your perception. If darkness, and you said I was in this dark place, if darkness is your guide, you're in trouble. And, you know, the purpose for this show, the purpose for everything that we do with every workshop, the intensives, Heartland, all of it, is to help to shift people from the point where their internal perceptual reality comes from darkness, and therefore darkness guides their words, their thoughts, their behaviors, and it just leads to more darkness. When he says, if the light for you is darkness, and what he's saying is if the perceptual output of your mind that you follow is based in hostility or fear, then how deep will your darkness become? What kind of crazy things will you do to destroy yourself? And the fact that you've taken the tools and said, okay, I'm moving in a different direction, and when we stop doing behaviors based in hostility or fear, in darkness, then a light comes. And when that light comes, and it's in you, you know, many of the theologies and such want to pretend that the light is in them or in somebody else, some magic figure that lived 2,000 years ago. And if you listen to that magic figure that many want to pretend was the light from 2,000 years ago and is going to do it for you, you listen to what he says, and if you actually honor his words, he says, yeah, I am the light of the world. And then he uses exactly the same words except changes the pronoun. He says, you are the light of the world. You have to find that light in you. And you did. And I just
do.
Really appreciate and acknowledge you for it.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you.
All right. Well, anything else to share? Or any questions for us?
No. No, I just appreciate you both.
All right. Blessings and lots of love.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Jenny, is Dr. Tim by chance with us today? I know he said
he is.
Good.
And Rex,
he is. Well, let's say hello to the young man before we go to the other caller.
And Rex is on as well.
Oh, cool. Dr. Tim, how do you be, sir? Hello, Dr. Tim.
Are you there?
Your mute button. I'm here.
Well, I'm driving, so go to Rex. I will just listen.
Okay, blessings.
Hi, Michael.
Hey there, good sir. How do you be?
I'm being great. I am that I am.
Right. Well, I heard that unfortunately the prison was canceled yesterday. They have another emergency or something there.
Well, actually, I was in a full-blown healing in process and was unable to, actually, I made a choice in the moment to stay home and not go to the prison yesterday.
Okay.
I got up and got around, but I have played this routine, this pattern with my low back, as you know, and I have at times when I get under, as I unravel deeper and deeper layers of my painful memories and so on and so forth,
right,
realities that I'm healing, sometimes it'll show up in the form of back pain in the low back, and it did this time again. And I intended to go in anyway, and it was so intense. It was just, my guidance was to just stay home, and I wrote all day. I read all my worksheets that I had done for about 3 months before Journey's transition, all the way back to 2012, and that was very emotional. I went through that and did a whole bunch of worksheets around all the topics that seemed to be stirred up by reading them. And in many of the things that, anything I could think of, you know, because I'm just really willing to heal what's surfacing in me when I'm highly motivated to be free from pain, to be in the state of healthy vitality and fully flexible and full of life. And having a really intense back pain where I can hardly move is not necessarily reflecting what I truly desire. So I'm inspired to heal whatever's coming up as a result of that. And that's what I chose to do, and it was a good decision for me to do that. I'm glad I chose that. And, you know, that's why I didn't go to prison. So that's just to be really clear with that.
Sounds like a very wise choice, and we certainly hold the space as this layer comes up and moves through to be able to forgive that layer and, you know, just to make note for people who might be new to the show, forgiveness, you know, in the context that Rex is speaking, forgiveness isn't about, you know, he's got some object of attention outside of himself, Brenda said in her letter, and you forgive them, but rather forgiveness is going in, accessing the energy that's creating the internal pain and removing it. So moving is forgiving. Letting people off the hook is pardoning. So we hold the space, Rex, and we're here to support you 1,000%.
Well, it's been awesome. Yesterday I had difficulty, you know, in the early part of the day. I did some breathing. I did a breathing session. I actually went back and listened to the program last Wednesday and did a breath session while it was being played, you know, which was very healing. I went into some deeper levels of clearing and integrating some of the, from that moment in time when I felt that dissociated state, you know, my awareness was lost. I gave up my awareness as an infant. And those of you that may not have heard the program, I went through a process in which our wonderful community supported me in healing and bringing that up. And I actually had a breath session on the program, which I thought was pretty, it was pretty amazing on my part. And I've gotten some feedback from some people that it was very helpful for them as well. And it's kind of stirred the pot. It's been it resonated with people. And that's really what my life's work is to resonate truth in others and support them in seeing the truth of who they are and also in myself. So it's beautiful to see it happening. And when I did that, it was really powerful because Mitzi was here listening with me and supporting me while I was doing my breathing session and breathing work. And I would just flash into those deep states of emotion. I'd breathe and it would pass, and then I'd flash into it, breathe, and it would pass. And that along with, I did that Monday night, and then Tuesday morning, I actually got up and I was feeling better, and I thought, well, I can pull this off. And after I got up and got around a little bit, I was having really difficulty moving and even getting from one moment to the next in the house, let alone going out and in the car. So I decided to stay and just continued the work. And today, last night, by the time the evening was done, I basically stayed focused on doing the inner work until about 7 or 7:30 from the time I got up in the morning. And by the end of the day, the back pain had lessened dramatically. And I don't take medication per se. I use enzymes, which I find is helpful for helping with inflammation, because it seems to be what I do with my low back. I inflame it somehow, and I'm still working with letting all that go. But the enzyme seems to help to dissolve the inflammation, and I'm able to stay fully present, and it's not a drug, you know, dissociating from the pain. And I find that to be very helpful, and so I do that. But other than that, it just started lessening, and by the evening it was a lot better, and I slept really well, and I got up this morning. I had a client this morning, and actually I'm feeling like I'm already moving through it very quickly, and it's already on the other end starting to move out. So I like it that it's happening faster. And all that being said, I also want to acknowledge Brenda, and I got her email along with you, Michael, and Jeannie. And like you, Michael, when you read it, Jeannie, on the program, and when I read it this morning, and I talked with Brenda this morning, I also had that similar feeling, and I'm having it again right now. It's just this joy that wells up in me as a person that's able to even be in the space of Brenda's, you know, experience and being involved in her life and being with her and being in the community with us is such an honor. I'm just highly blessed, and that feeling comes up in me, and that's really, really powerful. And I am aware that it is a response in our world from an individual that's called Brenda, that Brenda is doing the work. And it's amazing what you said, Michael. She had sent me an email, and she was that email, and I responded by saying, rather than it being a result of doing the work, it was a result of her, or actually the work, it was a result of her doing the work. And I was so cool, because when you said it to Brenda just now on the program, I thought, that is so cool, because how many times do we hear what is true, and it takes a certain number of times to get it, oh, yeah, it's really about me doing the work. It's not the work, because that's been around. And you almost said it exactly words. I said, it's been around for a long, long time, and you've taken on the work, and you're doing it. So that's what's really awesome. And so I am acknowledging Brenda and her tenacity, and I've been with Brenda through this process. Mitzi's been with Brenda. She's in our community, so we've been a part of it, and it's been just inspiring, I mean, to say the least, inspiring to see her make these massive changes in her life and see her life just unfold, which would be more along the line of a expression of love versus an expression of struggle and pain. And it's just been really amazing to watch. So I want to acknowledge you, Brenda, and acknowledge you, Michael and Jeannie, for presenting the work and being a part of this process. And, you know, and I'll even acknowledge myself and my beautiful sweetheart, my life partner, Mitzi, for being a part of it as well. And our whole community, Rick and Susan Pelkey just really instrumental in being a part of supporting it here, and Tony and Michelle, and we've got an amazing group of people here that are all doing the work at a very deep level. So it's just very powerful.
We are definitely blessed, all of us, that this community develops, and, you know, you've really been instrumental in bringing forward over the last 30 years the groundwork that you've done to bring forward that community in Lansing has been awesome. And, you know, I look at so many people who are doing that, the groundwork that Dr. Tim has done, and before Dr. Tim, David in Chicago to bring forward that community. And the community here, Ray was at the workshop here on, well, he's been here the last couple of nights, and she came and did teacher training 3 years ago and came back and started a support group after we'd done a week-long series here in Las Vegas. And that support group's gone for 3 years now, and, you know, the communities that are developing all over the globe as a result of tapping into and really doing the work of Yeshua. And I want to, you know, as you're talking about acknowledgement, I want to acknowledge the source of this work and the when you get to the truth of what Yeshua taught 2,000 years ago, this is all that we're doing is the work of Yeshua. It's not something I sourced. I chose to ground it in this time on the planet again and to do my best to understand it from the Aramaic and bring it forward. And we still don't know what we don't know. You know, we've got a major project in front of us yet to complete the translation work on the Kabbalah manuscript that all of this has come from, because we don't know what we don't know yet. And so I want to acknowledge the real teachings of Yeshua and invite those who have rejected the man because of the men that followed. And when I say followed, I don't mean followed him, but came after him, but distorted the teachings according to their own rages, guilt, grief, self-condemnation, hostility, and fear, and have destroyed the lives of so many. You know, I look at how many people you mention the word Yeshua, or as the culture calls him, Jesus, and their eyes roll, and it's like, yeah, well, now we know we've got enough of that BS, you can forget it. And they have no clue what's there. And it's because those who've taken his teachings through hostility and fear have beat and bruised and destroyed so many lives with their teaching, separated so many from the active presence of love that it's just amazing. While they prattle about love, the separation they've created through their hostility and fear is legion. And what we're looking to do is to invite those who've been beaten and bruised by those folks to let loose of their condemnation of, or of their unthinking acceptance of what they've been told about him. To start to visit the man directly, what the man actually said in his original Aramaic words, and take it and put it to work, and these are the results that happen. And so thank you for what you're doing there, and thank everybody for everything you're doing to create support groups around the country and around the world to bring this teaching forward and coming to the point where we'll critical mass. And also, as you acknowledge your bride, I want to acknowledge her for her project for April 22nd. It's coming up fairly quickly. If you go to Facebook and go into the event category and type in invitation to love, you'll find an invitation from Mitzi, a project that she's creating where she's inviting everybody in the same 90 seconds to focus on and synchronize as love and bring that into the world on a new level. So, and her video on YouTube is awesome. If you take a look at that, there's a link in the Facebook event page. And she brings forward some of the science. It's just done a beautiful job of it. And Mitzi, I acknowledge you for the work you've done and the things that you've faced and how you've taken those things and turned them into a way to support the world healing and changing those dynamics. It's a privilege and an honor to share the planet with each and every one of you.
Awesome. And Michael, I appreciate the appreciation, and I know Mitzi does. She's listening in on the program as well. I did have a question and a statement. The statement I wanted to make was, and you've said this so many times, and it's just a good reminder, when Yeshua said what he said, it is not I but the Father that does the works. And he also very clearly says, if I come in my own name, I'm come as a false prophet. And it was the presence of Rupa that he was expressing so purely and so clearly that we are interpreting. And I think it's a good reminder to just not get caught in the man himself, but to get caught in to recognize the true message of love that he was capable of expressing in his words and the language of the Aramaic. So I know that you say that so often, and I felt prompted to remind us of that as well. The question I have is regarding the worksheets. I know we have more callers, and I would love to be able to support that as well. In the worksheet process, I wondered if you would review for me and for a number of people the process of doing a worksheet on oneself. So it would be like Rex, and then I know you've talked about it, doing it as a third person. I wonder if you would review that real quickly as to how that might look. And then we could get to the other callers as well. And I can take your answer on mute and then just hear your response. How's that sound? Are
Michael,
you there?
We're not hearing you.
I know. I have to undo my mute button, right?
Okay. That's true.
How can I say So
Michael, I will listen to your answer. All right?
Okay.
On mute?
You go back.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You go back to the Aramaic, and you hear Yeshua saying, in order for you to live, you've got to die, which sounds insane, until you realize that for the average person, there are two involved in the life. One of them is dead, one of them is alive. The truth of who we are is this awesome, active presence of love that the world is committed to knocking out of us as quickly as possible when we arrive in the world. So the truth of our being is this awesome presence of love, a created human. Then we develop a self that we end up falling into identification with. And when we talk about myself, we're talking about this false image of ourselves, a fabricated self based in the hostility and fear of the world. It's been called ego, E-G-O, which I like to shorten to or use an acronym, edging God or love out. And the truth of who we are gets lost. And the false self tends to take over. Virtually everybody that goes into the world, that's what happens. And it's that false self that Yeshua says is the self that needs to die in order for you to live. In Aramaic, you are the neighbor of your false self. Your true self is the neighbor to the false self. And so when you do a worksheet, you are doing a worksheet on that false self. Say, for instance, I've turned around in frustration and, went into a fit of rage with someone. So I realize that I'm off base in doing that and that I need to forgive, not let myself off the hook for what I've done, but to reach into the false self, reach into the root of the false self that I call me, and remove that energy of hostility or fear. So what that worksheet would look like would be, number 1A is myself, my name, whoever I am, and my initials. And then I would proceed with, what's the situation? I flew off the handle at my child. How do I feel? Guilty. What's the thought behind the guilt? I've hurt my child. what's my goal for myself? Oh, well, I want to be perfect with my child. Ah, so now what I know is I need to become a retired perfectionist and forgive the perfection aspect, which is trying to live up to a power person that says to us, if you can't be perfect, then you're no good. Or live up to a preacher who says, if you can't do it all, if you can't be perfect, if you ever make a mistake, then you're condemned and going to hell. So that might be what those thoughts might look like, what one might get in touch with as one looks at the goal to be perfect. And then we invite people to become retired perfectionists. So then I would go to the thing and tapping into the active presence of love. Make sure that true human life is active in my mind as I'm contemplating this particular goal. And I transfer the answer from number three, I need to be perfect, down to number five, and I cancel my need to be perfect. I invite Rukka into undoing this part of me that has all this pain that I would even consider raging at my child because I haven't been perfect. And then, having collapsed, canceled that goal, and invited Rukka in, I collapse the projection on myself as inadequate, weak, helpless, I'm going to be hurt, somebody's going to beat up on me, I'm going to be rejected, whatever that happens to be. I let that come, and I touch into, oh, geez, if I wasn't perfect, then you know, somebody, you know, oh, God, I remember how my power person used to look at me and rage at me for not being perfect and tell me how I was never, no matter how hard I tried, I would. And as I breathe, I begin to bring in the active presence of love and ask Rukka to help me to dissolve that energy, that message that I got from the power person. And then I set a new goal toward my object of attention. And that new goal might be that I commit to staying connected to the active presence of the love that I am, even when I'm not perfect. And then I might take that goal and turn that into a mind shifter. So I can move from the tool of the forgiveness process in that regard. And if I realize this is an issue where perhaps I have more work to do, then I would take that goal and I'd go to a plain piece of paper and I'd write a mind shifter. And my mind shifter might look like it's safe and healing for me to be less than perfect and still maintain the presence of love in my mind. And for those who aren't familiar with the mind shifter tool, what you do with that is you take that, you take a piece of paper and divide it in two, and on the left side of the page, write that mind shifter, and then write everything that comes up in response to it. Create a space of at least 2 hours where the phones are off. I'm totally and completely focused in my own space. And I write that mind shifter, and I write everything that comes up in my mind in response to it. Every sensation in my body, every thought I have. When I run out of things to write, I write the mind shifter again. And then write everything that comes up in response. When I run out, I write it again. I might write it 2, 3, 4, 10 times before anything else comes up. And then I just stay with that process for a period of at least 2 hours. And I will probably see some of the other worksheets that I have to do in that arena. That would tend to be something that would create what we call the Hydra effect. And if you remember in Greek mythology, the Hydra was the creature that when you cut off her head, several new heads appeared. So out of that worksheet and that mind shifter, I might see that I've got worksheets to do around my power person and the messages that they gave me. I might see that I have worksheets to do around the need to look good. You know, there could be several different variations on the theme. So that would be how to do a worksheet oneself.
That's awesome, Michael. I had a question that you that was elicited as you were sharing that. Thank you very much. It's an excellent explanation. The question is, is there ever a time when I might put Rex and then the situation would be, what in my reality, that you are the experience of having back pain and then that Rex caused me to feel angry. And so that's kind of what, is there ever a time when you say he or that or she, as if I was a third person doing the worksheet, or do I usually say I?
No, I think or that you person. Can, you know, one of the skills we've talked about in the past is the ability to become the thinker apart from the thought, the feeler apart from the feelings, the actor apart from the action. And when you recognize that what you call Rex and persona, you know, if you look at the Greek word persona, it means mask. If you realize that the mask you put on over your true self isn't who you are, then it can be very appropriate to refer to yourself in the third person and to start to let go of the word I when using that identity and only use the word I to represent the truth of who you are. But I'd also suggest that in that particular case, you might do a worksheet where the object of attention number 1A is back pain and your initials, and then, you know, what's the situation? I saw myself simmering in rage, and all of a sudden my back started to hurt. My feeling is hopelessness, helplessness. So I've split it into two different worksheets. I'm going to do a worksheet that has number one identical in each one, but one of them is going to be where the feeling is hopelessness. The other one is going to be helplessness. And then I look at what's the thought behind the hopelessness. It's like, won't I ever get through this? Won't I ever get done with this? That might be the thought. And then what's the goal? I want to be finished with this. Yesterday, well, you know, you may find it's going to take a long time to get rid of the generational rage that creates back pain. And each layer that comes up, you'll go deeper and deeper into removing that energy. So that would be perhaps another way to approach that as well.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Michael. God bless you, brother. I'm going to see if there's any, you can still take another call. Hopefully we've got you're almost done. But God bless you. Thank you so much.
All right. Blessings. Good questions. Good questions. Thank you, Brenda, for your sharing. And we hold the space. We invite you to come and join us here. If you jump on the website, whyagain.org, if you click on the bullseye, that'll give you worksheets. It'll tell you all about the forgiveness process. There's several radio shows that you can tap into. If you're ready to take your work to a new level, actually the first intensive we're doing at Heartland this summer is a new intensive we've never done before. It's a 16-day codependence to interdependence and communication. Did you hear what I think I said? Practicum. So we're going to spend a lot of time in that communication process and demonstrating and having people work through issues with each other using responsibility communication. So if you're ready to do a new level and a new layer of work, that might be the intensive to participate in. You can jump on the website under intensive schedules and see what the dates are. And we do have an offer. Actually, I think it may have expired April 1st or maybe April 15th, I'm not sure, of 10 DVDs. But for those who let us know that you've been listening to the radio show, we'll actually give you a full set of 15 DVDs with your registration free. So that's $600 worth of DVDs that will come free with your registration for the intensive. And we appreciate each of you who participates. Share it with somebody else. Invite a stranger to the show tomorrow and give the world the best gift you can possibly give. When you are healed, you are never healed alone. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.